Grab your Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter 5. We've made it to Ephesians 5 already. To me, it seems like this is just flying by. You're looking at verses 1 through 21 this morning. So let's read these verses, we'll pray, and then we'll jump right into this. Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, and now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Father, we ask that by the power of your Spirit, you would come and give us revelation of these words that which we've read this morning. Lord, you've written these words for us to understand them so we can apply them to our life and so we can live in a way that you have designed for us to live. So God, this morning we open up our ears, we open up our hearts, and we ask you to come and speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Paul has shifted gears in verse 1 of chapter 4, where he wrote, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 give us the doctrine. They tell us who we are in Christ. They tell us what Christ has done for us and in us. We read two of Paul's prayers. And then in verse 1 of chapter 4, he says, because of those things, now you need to walk worthy of the call of God in your life. It's God's call on us, right? It's God the one that pursued us. Amen. And so in chapter 4, we've already looked at these, some of the things that he told us to do and things to walk in, you know, speaking truth and love and the putting off of the old man and living according to the new nature that God has given to us. And then in chapter 5, he begins a kind of a new phrase and a new direction. And he says, be imitators of God as your children. That is the foundation of how you and I are supposed to live our life. God is the standard of our life. Amen. It's not your pastor. It's not your spouse, it's not your neighbor, it's not your Sunday school teacher. God is the standard. He is the one that we are to imitate. Amen? Children imitate their parents, don't they? And sometimes it's cute, and sometimes it's like, aw, and sometimes it can be really embarrassing. Where did you learn that, Johnny? From my mommy. We are to be imitators of God. You are a child of God this morning if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life. If you've acknowledged your need for him, he's adopted you into his family. He says, you are my child. you need to imitate me. And then he says we need to walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. In verse 32 of chapter 4, we talked about this last week, he says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And we looked at how has God forgiven us? To what measure or to what degree has God forgiven us? Well, to a great measure, amen? To a measure that didn't just cover most of our sins or part of our sins or you know, all of the you know, okay sins, but the really bad ones. God, no, God's goodness of his grace and his forgiveness came out, or as Paul writes, according to the measure of his grace. Remember that phrase, according to the measure, which means that it is to equal to the value that he has. So when God goes to his bank account of grace and forgiveness, it is full. And according to that measure, he pours out that forgiveness into our lives. And in chapter 5, verse 2, the same measure that we are to walk in love. How can you and I walk in love? Because Christ in us enables us to walk in love. To that same measure that God has given to us forgiveness, we can walk in forgiveness. Why? Because not only has God forgiven us, that's the reason why we're supposed to forgive, but how can we forgive? It's because God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Chapter 1, right? And because God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, that includes you and I now have the grace in our lives to be able to walk in forgiveness. And the same thing with chapter 5, verse 1. How can I be an imitator of God? Because his spirit dwells inside of me, and he becomes my standard. How can I walk in love as Christ loved the church? Because God enables us through the power of his Holy Spirit to walk in love. Now, Paul gives us in verses 3, 4, and 5, he's going to give us three separate categories with three subcategories or three examples of those categories. This is the practical living out chapters 1, 2, and 3, right? Verses or chapters 4, 5, and 6 are the practical living out chapters 1, 2, and 3. So we can't just jump in here and say, well, okay, I'm supposed to be an imitator of God. Well, how can I do that? You know, well, the Bible tells us to be holy because he is holy, right? We're to imitate God. Well, an unredeemed person cannot imitate God. Only those that have been born again by his spirit are equipped to be an imitator of God, to walk in the same grace and the mercy and the patience and the kindness and the power and the authority and the wisdom of God, because God equips us with the same spirit. So the same area in love. But now Paul's going to give us a very practical application of chapters 1, 2, and 3 by giving us three separate categories of how you and I as Christians are to live our life. And the first one is in verse 3, where he tells us three behaviors that you and I as Christians are to avoid. So the verse 3 are behaviors. What behaviors should we avoid? He says, but fornication, he's going to give us three examples. And all uncleanliness or covetousness. Listen to how strong he emphasizes these. He says, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for who? The saints. Are you a saint this morning? You are if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen. At the very beginning, his intro to the book, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints. This book was written to the Christian. You are a saint. Amen. You are forgiven. Amen. You guys got to get with me now. Oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You know, there's truth to that, but there's also truth to the reality that says that you are a saint of the child of, you are a child of God. You're the same spirit that lives in God lives in you. You are freed. Amen. I mean, if we're not free, then why do water baptisms? You know, you are a saint. And Paul says fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness should not even be named among the saints. Why? Because it's not fitting for you. Have you ever done something that felt contrary to who you were? And it feels weird, right? That is how these things should feel to us as saints. Now, verse 3 gives us some very practical application, and they're sexual in nature. Fornication, which simply means having sex outside of marriage. And premarital sex or having an affair, or can we use the biblical word, adultery? Paul says, don't have that even be named among you saints. That is not who you are. That is not why God has forgiven you and freed you and set you apart. That goes contrary to the Spirit of God that dwells inside of you. Stay away from sexual immorality. Uncleanliness simply means, in the sexual realm, everything that leads up to intercourse. Many times Christians and, we know that having sex before marriage is bad, so maybe we can do everything else. You know, where do we draw the line? Paul says, here's where you draw the line. Don't even have that stuff being named among you, because it's not who you are. Covetousness. Do not covet. Do not be greedy. Do not be one that pursues your own lusts and desires. And do not covet your neighbor's wife. I mean, the Greek words here that are used, that Paul uses, have a sexual nature to them. He's telling us, church, be freed from sexual sin. Sexual sins are so difficult to deal with because there's such shame that comes to them, and so we keep them hidden. We get embarrassed by them. We're ashamed of them. And the enemy, Satan, has kept that sin from being exposed to the point that it flourishes in the church. I mean, we know it flourishes in the world. Hello? I mean, any TV show, any movie, any ad they're selling, anything sexual in nature. But Paul is writing very practical this morning and telling us, do not allow sexual immorality, sexual thoughts, lust of the hearts, coveting, do not be named among you. Why? Because it's not fitting for who you are as a saint. Forgiven, set free from those things. Power over those things. He goes on in verse 4 to give us another category. The first one in verse 3 is about behavior. Verse 4 is about our speech. So he talks about behavior, and now he's going to give us some speech lessons. He says, neither filthiness, which literally means ugliness. Look at your neighbor and say, don't talk ugly. Look to your neighbor and say, don't talk ugly. Some of you are like, I'm afraid they're going to hit me if I say that. It's okay to have fun in church. Neither ugliness or filthiness, nor foolish talking. This foolish talking literally means disorder conversation. And it's a reference literally to a drunk. If you've ever been around a drunk person and they kind of slur their speech and they start talking about, you know, things that don't make sense, you know, you're talking about whatever, and then all of a sudden they start talking about something else and it just doesn't make sense. It's disorder. It's like that's the reference that Paul gives. So, you know, don't be just talking just random stuff. Don't be talking ugly. You know, the speech that we use, it needs to be in order. And then the last one, the coarse jesting or coarse joking, is the opposite of this foolish stuff where it's disordered. It actually means somebody that has it very much in order. This would be like the real witty person, the person who's very sarcastic and very, you know, the smart aleck in the room. It says these things should not be a part of who you are, but instead, here's what you should do. So it gives us the negative first. Don't have these behaviors in there, but the positive is because it's not fitting for who you are as a saint. He gives us three negatives on our speech, but then he says, here's how you are to live your life, which is not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. And we can go back to what we talked about a few weeks ago about speaking truth and love, and these are the ways that Paul has encouraged and taught us of how we're to live our life. Now, in verse 5, he's going to give us people to avoid. Okay? For those of you who know that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So he says, you know, these are the people that we need to avoid. In verse 6, look closely, he says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. You see, in verse 6, he says, be careful of those people, because of their empty words, they're going to deceive you. Deceive you about what? About their actions and about their speech. In other words, they're going to say, it's not that big of a deal. It was just a joke. Oh, it's just one part of a movie. Oh, it's just a little bit of sexual immorality, you know? And we can be deceived and begin to be led astray by wrong teaching. Now, how can we, as a church, not get led astray? Paul has given us the answer, and I've already mentioned it a couple times this morning. Chapter 4, verse 15. Or we'll start with verse 14 and get it in context. Ephesians 4, verse 14. How can you and I avoid being deceived and led astray by people who want to just compromise or water down sins? And, you know, it's not that big of a deal. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried away with every wicked or with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting, but speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So how can I avoid being deceived by people who practice verses 3 and 4? The way I can do that is by having a group of people around me, the church, the saints, that will come and speak truth and love. Remember, they're spoken at the exact same time. That will help me. Jason, this thing's wrong. Oh, I don't think it's that wrong. So-and-so said it wasn't that wrong, and they've been doing it for a long time. And, you know, it's just, oh, Jason, this is wrong. I got to speak truth to you. Again, not just fluff and not just truth. They're coming together, speaking both at the same time. That's how you and I can avoid being led astray and being deceived. A generation after generation has been taught and told that this is okay. And Paul's talking about sexual things here. It's okay. It's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. And you and I need to stand up and say that it's not okay. It's not okay to covet. It's not okay to have coarse joking. It's not okay to be involved in those things. It shouldn't even be named among the saints. Amen? Verse 7. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. So do not be a part of what they're doing. Verse 8 will change your life. If you haven't memorized a Bible verse in a long time, memorize verse 8. It's simple. You can do it. Highlight this verse. Write this verse down. This verse is the summary of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This verse enables you and I as saints to live the life that Paul is writing to us to live. Verse 8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Look closely at that. You were once darkness. Doesn't say you were once in darkness. You were once darkness. You were once the shadow. You were once death. But now, you are light. Do you see the transforming work of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our life? To the saints, you were once in death. Excuse me, I just said it. That's just wrong. We weren't in death, we were death. We are darkness. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Same principle, different wording to help us understand it. "And you," everybody say me, "he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." So Christ has made us alive from the dead, amen? The gospel did that. Jesus Christ on the cross does that. I once was darkness, but now I am light. And because I am light, I am not to live a life like verses 3, 4, and 5. Because it's not who I am. It's not what Christ has done in me. It's not the purpose for which he has saved me. Now on your sheet, here we have a lot of verses. We're not going to look up all of them. Again, many of these, or some of these, are for your future study. But I want us to look, starting with 1 Thessalonians. So, we're going to jump to 1 Thessalonians, then we're going to jump over to John. First Thessalonians, chapter 5. I want this morning for you to see what God has done in us and through us. So we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4. "But you, brethren, are not in darkness." Everybody say amen. so that this day, talking about the day of Christ's return, should overtake you as a thief. But you are sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. That's good news, isn't it? That's our identity. That's what Christ has done. Christ hasn't saved us so we can be partially clean. We were once in darkness. We were once doing deeds of darkness. We were once the darkness. We were once the death. But because of what Christ has done, we are no longer those things. Our identity has been changed. We are a new creation. And again, Ephesians is about the church. It is revealing the new creation that God has done. He has taken the unregenerated Jew and the unregenerated Gentile and has brought them together in Christ to create a new people set apart holy unto him, the saints. And that's who you and I are. Let's go to John chapter 12. See it from Jesus' perspective and his words. John chapter 12, verse 35. Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtakes you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Jesus says to believe in the light so you can become sons or daughters of the light. What is the light? I'm glad you asked. John chapter 1. Go to John chapter 1. What is the light? We can become sons and daughters of the light. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Speaking of Christ. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Verse 4. In him was life, and the light was and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So when Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 that we were once darkness, but now we are light, what he's saying is what he said in chapter 2, verse 1, that we were dead, and he's made us alive. So you were once death, but now you are life. You were once darkness, but now you are light. That is why Paul is able to tell us in verse 1 to be imitators of God. Be imitators of the light. I can't imitate light unless God has made me to be light. I can't imitate life unless God makes me life. Does that make sense? Verse 8, I'm telling you, you need to memorize this because this is your identity of who you are in Christ. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. The light doesn't come from anywhere else except from God through Christ. But now he's going to give us the application. Because of who you are, because you are now light, because you are now life, now walk as children of light, which is actually a title given to the saints. So when he says walk as children of light, he's saying walk as a saint. And if you have sexual immorality named among you, you're not walking as life. Because these deeds that we've looked at before in chapter 2 were deeds of disobedience that suffer the wrath of God in their life. But because Christ has made us life and light, he instructs us to walk accordingly. Are you with me? Let's go to 1 John. First John chapter 1. When you find it, say, "I'm in the light." First John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Is that really in there? If we say that we have fellowship with him, I'm a follower of Jesus, Yes, yes, Jesus has saved my soul. Yes, yes, I'm forgiven. Yes, I'm a Christian. Yes. And we walk in darkness or death. We lie and do not practice the truth. That's kind of hard-hitting, isn't it? We're saints. Don't let sexual immorality be mentioned among you. Be careful what words you use. Be careful on the people you hang around with, because they're going to deceive you. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. Oh, it's just this, it's just that. If we say that we have fellowship with Christ, but yet we're walking in darkness, we are a liar. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Cleanses us from all darkness. Cleanses us from all of the evil that you and I have done. Now this is what equips us to be imitators of God. Because Christ enables us as we walk with him. If I'm walking with Jesus, then I will imitate God. Isn't that what Jesus did? Didn't he say that? I say only what I hear and see the Father doing. He imitated the Father. So if I'm following Christ and following the light, following the life, then that's what I'm going to be living in myself and then being an example to those around me. Now, the other one in 1 John, chapter 2, verse 9, will show us how we can walk in love, as Paul talked about. He who says he is in the light, so he who says he's in the life, the light, and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. So again, how can you and I walk in the love of Christ that Paul talks about? By walking in the light. If we can say, I'm a follower of Christ, but if we're not walking in love, then you know what? We're walking in darkness. We're walking according to the deeds of death, not according to deeds of life that God has given to us. I love this quote that I put on your sheet. From Frank, my friend Frank, actually, I have no idea, never met him, but I use his book. He says, within the people of God, a culture should prevail that is utterly different from the culture described in chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. It says, where these vices are so common. Look on your sheet at the very bottom, John chapter 12, verse 46. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me, that's Jesus, should not abide in darkness. Christian, we should run from sin. We should not hang out with sin. We should not abide in sin. There should be such a distinct difference between the saint, the one who has life, and the one who has death. The sinner, the unrepentant heart. And the reason is because we are light and they are darkness. That's truth. I'm not trying to be rude or mean or intolerant, but that's the reality. Not that they are in darkness, that's a given, but they are darkness. That's what we used to be. We used to be darkness. We used to be death. But because of Christ, we are light. We are life. We're going to look up two more verses this morning. Flip your sheet over. John chapter 3, because this is so important. Because this is the practical application of how you and I are to live our lives. John chapter 3. In other words, how do we deal then with sin that is around us? How do we deal with darkness? John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. So that can be some discouraging news for you as a saint. You are light. Amen? Everybody say, I am light, which means wherever you go, you're shining light. You're bringing life with you, right? Well, some people don't like the warmth of the light, the the sun shining this morning is the same light that a plant will soak in for life. There's also the same light that will dry the ground and make it hard. Same light, different response to that light. And I know we as Christians, God is all warm and fuzzy, and he just fills our heart, and that's good. I mean, that's part of it. But to the sinner, that's not the same response that you're always going to get. You can walk in and have life flowing in you and through you, and you walk into a situation, you walk into a room, you walk into somebody who's behaving like verse 3 or speaking like verse 4, and they won't always respond to that light very well. Because evil or darkness does not like the light, because they don't want their deeds to be exposed. So we have ourselves a dilemma, because if you look at chapter 5 of Ephesians, I know we're going all over the Bible, but that's good. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to finish this up here with Paul's words on how we are to interact with darkness. Verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as saints. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. For the fruit of the Spirit is all these things. It's the same verse that we looked at in verse 24 of chapter 4. It says that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. That's who we are to walk in. The fruit of the Spirit in our life produces these things. Verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So in other words, walk as children of the light. As you're walking in righteousness and goodness and truth, then in verse 10, you will find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Sometimes people call me up as a pastor and say, well, should I be doing this or should I be doing that? You know what? It's not my decision to make that for you. What is God telling you to do? What does righteousness tell you to do? What does holiness tell you to do? Amen? Not me. That's just my opinion. And if I told you what to do, you might do it, you might not do it. And if you did, you'd probably do it because the pastor told me to. Not because the Spirit of God is leading you to do it. That's how you and I determine God's plan for our life when we walk in these things. When we walk in righteousness, when we walk in goodness, we'll begin to discover God's plan for us, begin to discover what is acceptable to the Lord. So if you're trying to determine if verse 3, sexual immorality, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness is for you, or how far you're supposed to go, or where are the lines, or what movie you should watch, or what music you should listen to, or any of those types of things, you find the answer in verse 10. And that is by looking and living as a child of God. And as we do that, then we'll discover God's will and God's leading for us, and God's convictions that he gives us. Now here's how he tells us to interact with darkness, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. It's kind of harsh. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Do not associate with it. Do not be a part of it. Do not be named among it. No. So what are we supposed to do? We are to expose them or reprove them. So don't hang out with that. Don't be a part of that, but rather, Paul says, expose them. Now, I know in an intolerant world, that seems very harsh, but isn't that what Jesus came to do? Jesus was the light of the world, and him was the life. The darkness did not comprehend it, and darkness rejected it. Those who do evil, those who live in darkness, hate the light because it what? Exposes them. I'm thankful this morning that Christ exposed my sins. Because then I could experience the life that that light offers. You know, your unsaved friends at school or work in your neighborhood may not appreciate it right now. But as we expose it, they will hopefully and prayerfully come to the point of receiving Christ. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of these things which are done by them in secret. But all things, look closely, verse 13, that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. And then he's going to quote, and he's going to give this wake-up call. He says, awake, you who sleep. arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. That cannot happen unless you and I live as saints, unless you and I walk as children of the light. And as we do that, the world will see that and the world will come to salvation. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly or carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So verse 15 gives us a little balance in how we're to expose them. Do not go to work tomorrow and hear a sinful joke, some coarse gesturing, and walk in and say, sin, 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 I've exposed sin. Okay, don't do that. It probably won't work well for you. We need to walk in wisdom, verse 15. But he does tell us the urgency of verse 16, redeem the time. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Amen? I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. Let's stand together as a church. We're going to sing a song that we sang earlier this morning, that I want to be in the light. And I trust that you'll read the rest of these verses that are on your sheet. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And this morning as we sing this, maybe this morning you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You don't know about sins forgiven. Today would be a great day. Be a wonderful day to leave here knowing that your sins are forgiven as we introduce you to Jesus Christ. You know, Acts 13 says that we are a light to the Gentiles. Philippians chapter 2 verse 15 says that we shine as light to the world because of Christ that lives inside of us. Amen? That's who we are. This morning, as we sing the song, I just want us to be encouraged this morning and just really make this our decision. So I want to be in the light. I want to walk as a child of light. I want to walk as what Christ has created me to be. Amen? Amen. To live as you've created us to live, as saints, children of the light. Lord, you've given to us light. Lord, you have redeemed us. Lord God, we were once darkness, but now we are light. God, may we leave here this morning encouraged in our spirit, encouraged in our hearts. May we leave here today, God, with a glow about us because the light and the life of Christ lives inside of us. And Lord, as we live in the light, as we follow you, Lord, may the world see it. And God, may they see their need for a Savior, as each and every one of us have that walk in the light. God, we want our lives to honor you. We say thank you for what you've done for us. God, may our lives reflect what you've accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen.